And you're suggesting the internet could go down in flames. You use the phrase internet meltdown. That would really affect my life heavily, Lauren. What do you mean by internet meltdown?
You know, it's very important to remember, as you're doing now, that the good side of this, because the internet is, when you come right down to it, a tool, right?
A very important tool, Lauren. It's you notice you don't have people going door to door anymore selling encyclopedias. One of the reasons for that is because the encyclopedia is in the little box there. You go to Google and you can find out about anything in the world. The importance of this this can't be calculated.
Kids are growing up now who will never have known a world where you couldn't get the answer to almost any question.
That's right.
A couple of seconds away at a screen sitting in their bedroom.
Yes, sir.
It's an amazing thing. But like any other tool, like a hammer, you can use a hammer to build a house. You can use a hammer to crack someone's skull. It's the user that controls what the tool is used for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing with the internet. The meltdown that we're talking about mainly has to do with all these corruptions that are occurring of the net. And by corruptions, I mean both technical problems, spam, viruses, worms, all these kinds of things, and control problems, governance problems, the issue of who makes the rules for the internet, who makes sure it's reliable, who makes sure it's secure,
mm-hmm.
that you're not being spied on, that your privacy isn't being invaded. Because right now, it's a mess.
You know how you can go to your C drive, Lauren, and you can look at basically all the contents of your computer, the various directories you have, and then down below that, of course, is the operating system files. And the other day I was looking at one of my computers, and I noticed that I have more megabytes of patches than I do operating system.
You must be running a Microsoft operating system.
Well, yes. And to keep up on all the current patches for all the current viruses, you do end up with more files that are patches to fix problems and holes and security problems than you do operating system itself.
Yep.
So if you want to take a moment and bash Microsoft, have at it. I understand Apple people don't quite go down the same road. Is that true?
I really don't bash Microsoft on this. Part of the reason that they've got the problem is because they're the 800-pound gorilla.
Well, and because they wrote it to be functional for users. They really weren't thinking about the virus aspect of all this when they wrote it originally, were they?
Their whole attitude until fairly recently has been features first,
yeah.
Which is an understandable commercial attitude.
Of course it is.
And what happened, though, is that a lot of those features were implemented without... In retrospect, appropriate attention being paid to the security aspect. So while they brought some nice bells and whistles for some situations, they did open up a lot of holes. Now, Microsoft is now trying to get their act together on this. I think they're making a legitimate effort.
Oh, sure.
But because 99% of people's PCs run Windows, that will continue to be the dominant target. The reason that Apple people, for example, have less of a problem partly relates to the technical functioning of the operating system, that the newer Apple systems are actually based on Unix underneath.
Mm-hmm.
But also because they represent a much tinier percentage of the users. So the people that write these viruses and spams and such will target the big kahuna. And
well, I'm not a Microsoft basher. I use it. I like Microsoft. I like their products. And I go ahead and I load the patches. But I do note they're beginning to be larger than the operating system. And I was kind of laughing the other day looking at that. So it describes how big the problem really is. And could all this really come crashing down, Lauren? Could it really?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, the most likely way for it to come crashing down is not necessarily a technical crash, but a sort of political control crash.
Oh.
In terms of the... what's essentially a war that's starting to occur between these different large corporations and some government entities that are involved in all of this. The ISPs, for example, the Internet Service Providers, more and more are trying to control what their users do. And because of all these conflicts that are starting to occur, the probability is that the kind of meltdown we would see first would be fragmentation of the Internet. where it became harder and harder to do communications that weren't approved in one way or another, or to contact people outside your particular, what they call, walled gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Now there are technical issues, too, that are occurring. Some of these are being triggered by companies. For example, .com, right?
Right.
The big domain.
Right.
.com is controlled by VeriSign, a company called VeriSign.
Right.
And VeriSign operates what's called the registry. So when you type a .com address, they're involved in figuring out where that address is and how you're actually going to connect to that site and all that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Sometime back, fairly recently, they decided on their own that they were going to change the way .com worked. And they implemented a system that they thought would be commercially beneficial to them, to themselves. What happened, unfortunately, is that it broke lots of applications around the Internet. And there was a lot of yelling and screaming. And they ultimately turned off that application temporarily. Now, the odds are they're going to try to bring it back because they filed a lawsuit against the organization, ICANN, which ordered them to turn it off.
Yes, let me understand, please, what they did. What was the intent? What did they do? What was the intent of what they did?
The intent of what they did was to try to deal with a situation where you type the wrong address into a web browser. Seems simple, right?
Yes.
So if you typed Coast to Coast AM and you spelled it wrong, instead of just getting an error message that said wrong site, no such site, something like that, you would get a special web page that they were presenting that would suggest to you various alternatives and would have other, you know, commercially oriented information and links on it also.
Well, I mean, Google does that to a degree. Google, for example, if you mistype something, Google will come back and say, "Did you mean?"
Right.
And it will give you a few alternatives.
Right.
Is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
No, because what VeriSign did was make this change at a fundamental core level of the Internet. So it didn't just affect web applications. It affected all applications, including email, which meant that if you mistyped a domain address on a piece of email, that email actually got sent to them rather than where you wanted it to go, or at least it tried to go to them is what actually happened.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's lots of other, the Internet is a lot of applications that are going on all the time, beyond mail, beyond the web, beyond the obvious stuff, and it broke a lot of them.